We are on the third Sunday of our journey through the Lord's Prayer. Most of us know by heart this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Yet, honestly speaking, many of us do not know what we are really praying for when we pray it. And so through this sermon series, we seek to better understand this model prayer Jesus gave us and to grow deeper in our prayer life. I hope that this simple prayer of Jesus will change us and reshape our lives as we continue on our special spiritual journey this summer. After examining the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer last Sunday, we come to its second sentence. Shall we say it together? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Before going further, I'd like to acknowledge that this reflection was inspired by Daryl W. Johnson's book, 57 Words That Changed the World. I believe this short sentence, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, best summarizes the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. If you recall, the kingdom of God is at hand were among the first words Jesus preached when he started his public ministry. And not what I will, but what you will, were among the last words Jesus prayed to God before he was arrested by the Roman soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane. Throughout his entire ministry, Jesus constantly proclaimed the kingdom of God and sought to do God's will. So understanding this sentence that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is very crucial for understanding what he was trying to accomplish in his ministry, what he was teaching, what he was doing on the cross when he died on the cross, and when he rose from the grave. Now let's look at the first phrase of the second sentence, thy kingdom come. What are we praying when we say, thy kingdom come? As you know, the first word, thy, is an old English word for your. The natural tendency in our lives is to focus on us and on our own needs. That's a survival skill that we have, our own needs. Yet it is the same way in our prayer lives. We tend to center our prayers on ourselves, filling them with our needs and our wants. However, the Lord's Prayer takes our attention away from us. It takes our focus away from what we want and turns that attention back to God and what God wants. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we are reminding ourselves that the world does not revolve around us. We are letting go of our natural tendency to make everything all about us. We are repenting of our sins of selfishness and self-centeredness, and resolving to seek first God's kingdom and God's will. That's what we That's what we are doing. That's what we mean when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Next time when you pray, try to put a stress on that word, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But what does it mean to pray for God's kingdom to come? What did Jesus mean exactly by the kingdom of God that he was praying for? Jewish people in Jesus' time held a unique view of time and history. They believed time was linear and that history kept moving forward like an arrow. God was actively present in history and was moving history toward its end, called the day of the Lord. At the end time, when this time, the history keeps moving, when it goes, arrives the end, there is the kingdom of God, where God will rule as the king over the entire, not just Israelites, but the entire world without rival, and where all of God's creation would be restored to God's original design in a new heavens and a new earth. In that reign of God, there was to be no more suffering, no more pain, no more crying, no more weeping, but dancing and singing and full of joy. Hear the vision of the kingdom of God from the prophet Isaiah. You might remember this popular, well-known scripture. The wolf and lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but the dust will be serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all God's holy mountain. And this reign of God was ushered in by God's anointed one, the Messiah. It was in this context and worldview that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come. As mentioned earlier, the kingdom of God was at the heart of Jesus' teaching throughout his ministry. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as the Gospel of Matthew more often used, appears several dozen times in the Gospels, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. He announced that the kingdom of God, the future reign of God, spoken of by the prophets, had now broken into history because of him. The new order of life, the restoration of God's good creation, was already begun in Jesus, and his ministry was a demonstration of the future kingdom of God already happening in the midst of the disciples. In the here and now, here are some images of God's kingdom manifest in Jesus' life and ministry. Jesus gives the sight to the blind. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus makes the lame to walk. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus heals those who are suffering from mental illness. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus heals lepers. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus heals a bent over woman who was ignored by other people for 18 years. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus calms the stormy wind and water. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus feeds the hungry. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus stands with the poor and powerless. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus reaches out to the Samaritan woman and she becomes the evangelist. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus includes women in his ministry, going against his culture. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus welcomes and blesses children. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus hangs out with the so-called sinners. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus saves a woman caught in adultery, risking his own reputation as a rabbi. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus calls Zacchaeus, and the tax collector repents of his sins and turns away from his past. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus calls the ordinary, the least likely persons to be his disciples. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus unites people the world divides. In his company are Simon the Zealot, Matthew the tax collector, two arch enemies. One represents an oppressive foreign government and the other a revolutionary insurgency. He's a terrorist. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus forgives his disciples who betrayed him. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus himself rises from the dead. That is the kingdom of God. Throughout Jesus' life and ministry, the kingdom of God, the new order of life, the restoration of God's good creation was breaking into the present from the future coming now, here and now. But many times, Jesus also said that the kingdom of God had yet to come. The kingdom of God is both here and the kingdom of God is yet to come. In other words, the kingdom of God is a work in progress. The kingdom of God that was begun in the life and ministry of Jesus continues to grow and spread in and through the lives of his followers. As it was in Jesus' time, as it has been throughout history, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, breaks into the present when we act with justice, when we love tenderly, when we serve one another, and when we walk humbly with God, as the prophet Micah envisioned long ago. The kingdom of heaven breaks into our world today when we act with compassion and kindness, when we show mercy to those who live in fear and give hope to the hopeless. It breaks into our world when we sacrifice ourselves for other people. Through our willingness to follow Jesus Christ, we get a taste, a glimpse of God's kingdom that is forever breaking into our present time, the here and now. The kingdom of God needs our, yes, it needs our participation. Jesus said there are many signs of the coming of the kingdom of God, yet they are hidden, like a treasure buried in the field. And they are revealed only to those who open their eyes to see them. When we repent, when we change the way we think, when we experience a change of heart, our eyes are opened and see the signs of God's kingdom already present in our lives and all around us in the world. Do you see them? Do you hear those signs of God's kingdom being fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven? I do. I see them. I do in so many places in our world, in our church. And one of those places where the signs of God's kingdom were strongly present were during the VBS, Vacation Bible School, last week. I saw them on the happy faces of the volunteers, both youth and adults, coming from our church and our sister church, New Creation. They showed up every morning with great enthusiasm, and they were just having fun. As our kids were having fun, the volunteers also were having fun. And I heard them in the joyful noises. I not only saw the signs of God's kingdom, but I heard them, those signs, in the joyful noises of our children all over our church campus. And today, I will see those signs of God's kingdom coming, breaking into our present time in the fireside room where volunteers will work on making ponchos for the homeless after the worship service. Some of our church family members will carry with them the signs of God's kingdom to Los Gatos in San Francisco as they participate in the Crop Hunger Walk or in the Pride Parade this afternoon. The kingdom of God that has begun in Jesus will continue to grow through the work of his followers. Signs of God's kingdom will spread to everywhere they go with God's love. So now, the second phrase of the second sentence, thy will be done. The story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden tells us how strong our wills are. God told them, they could eat all the fruits from any tree in the garden except from one tree. They were told they would die. Not just they would be punished, God said, they would die if they broke this one rule. What did they do? They went ahead and ate from the forbidden tree. We want to do things on our way and according to our own will, don't we? No one wants to be told what to do and what not to do. Even my 7-year-old grandson, Gabriel, does not want to be told what to do by his grandma. We want to be in control. But when we pray, thy will be done, we are saying the prayer Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. Do you see it? The first Adam said to God through his act of disobedience, not your will, but my will. But Jesus, the second Adam, said to God in his prayer of surrender, not my will, but your will. In a different garden, but faced with the same temptation to assert control, Jesus showed the way. Jesus shows us the way in the spirit of this Jesus shows the way we are to follow. In the spirit of this prayer of Jesus, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodism, wrote this covenant prayer, the prayer many of us are familiar with. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and hurriedly yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. This way, this kind of way of surrender is, of course, difficult. Our natural tendency, like the first Adam, is to have it our way, to have the world conform to our will. You may even find surrendering your need for control impossible. But do not worry. There is hope for us. We are praying for God's kingdom to come not only into the world, but also into our hearts. We are inviting the Holy Spirit to work in us, to give us hearts of flesh, which will enable us to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, the way of humble obedience to God. Will you now pray the second verse of the Lord's Prayer with me now? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you commit to continuing to pray the Lord's Prayer throughout this week? Once, as I suggested last week, once in the morning, once in the evening, once as soon as you open your eyes, another time, the second time before you close, or after you close your eyes, right before you fall asleep. When you do that this week, give special attention to the second verse we have reflected together this morning. May the Holy Spirit give you the eyes and ears to see the kingdom of God already in our midst, here in this place, there in our own lives, wherever we go, there. May the Holy Spirit empower you to say yes to participating in God's ongoing work of restoration. And may the Holy Spirit enable you to follow Jesus in the humble, obedient way of Jesus Christ, who leads us to life. Amen.